Hi, my name is Patricia Kathleen, and this podcast series will largely be based on interviews I conduct with female entrepreneurs, business owners, and those I have found to be overall titans in their respective fields. As with all of my projects, I refuse to project exactly where I will end up, as unearthing information in conversation frequently lands my work planets away from where I anticipated it would. I have a background in photography and film, as well as academia and art history, and I obtained the bulk of my information by asking questions through both interview and image. You can locate my work as well as other podcast series I've conducted or contact me via my website, www.patriciakathleen.com. Thanks for listening. Now let's get started asking some questions.
Hi guys, welcome back to my podcast. This is Patricia Kathleen, and today we are going to interview entrepreneur and business owner Maya Madsen. Maya is a founder of Maya's Cookies. Maya's Cookies is a vegan cookie company based in San Diego, California, and it is dedicated to sharing the joy of cookies through her distribution on her website, mayascookies.com. And the company has a national reach and an online order shipping where you can go onto mayascookies.com and it can be shipped anywhere in the nation. And coming soon, it will be international as well. So I'm so excited to have you here. Welcome, Maya.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Yay. Okay. So I'm going to dive right in and kind of let you explain the nuts and bolts of Maya's Cookies. What is your professional background and then your current company? Can you explain like what kind of products you have and everything else?
Sure. So my background actually is in the fitness industry. I spent 30 years as a fitness professional and I accomplished everything I wanted to do in the fitness industry over the course of 30 years. And lo and behold, San Diego Union Tribune came and did a story on me in 2015 on my fitness career. Nice. And they came out and take photos. And when they took the photos, I happened to be baking my vegan cookies that I was famous for. And that's the photo that ran in the newspaper. And from there, I got a lot of inquiries on, hey, those vegan cookies look good. Can we buy them from you? And that's kind of how the business started.
Just organically came about from an auspicious photo. That's awesome. I know that you mentioned you're a dedicated member of the fitness community and a longtime vegan. But what specifically like inspired you towards the vegan lifestyle or towards making these cookies?
Well, what inspired me towards the vegan lifestyle was being in the health industry, I studied nutrition extensively. And the more I learned about nutrition and where our food came from, the more I would eliminate certain things from my diet.
Right.
And I don't like to use the word diet because it's die with a T on the end. So my lifestyle, I guess you should say. And over the course of 10 years or so, I just would eliminate things. The more I learned about how bad they were for you, I decided not to feed them to my family or myself. And one day I woke up and said, I think I'm vegan.
Yeah.
And I realized.
Finally landed there. Yeah.
Right. So it wasn't something that I set out to do. It's something that just happened. The more educated I became, the more I ate vegan.
You know, that's pretty much identical to how I landed on it too. It was a process of about 10 years for me, just kind of slowly looking at the way I felt, you know, the way the animals were treated, like everything kind of coming into process and play. And then finally realizing there was very little I was doing that wasn't vegan and then making that choice. That's interesting. Yeah. I wonder how many other people have like come across the same pathway versus it just being some staunch decision.
Right.
When you launched Maya's Cookies, like the sales environment, when you first went to launch the company, did you have an idea as to what venues you were going to go into? Did you have a kitchen you were already using? How did all of that play in?
Sure. I better back up a little though, because I didn't finish answering your question. I think you asked how the vegan cookies came about and that kind of, it ties into my fitness career. I ate really healthy 6 days a week, and I would have one day that I would give myself a cheat day. And I had to eat really healthy because I'm training top athletes and whatnot, and I need to be able to perform. So I didn't want to be sluggish or, you know, feeling yucky when I'm trying to teach a spinning class. So on my cheat day, I would go all out, and I love desserts. And I used to love Mrs. Fields-style cookies, and they're just there weren't any on the market. Everything was dry. There wasn't anything gourmet-ish, soft-baked.
I feel like there still isn't.
There weren't any cookies that satisfied me, so I just figured out how to make them myself. So that's kind of how the business started, I guess you could say, or how I started making cookies. It was because of my own
desire.
Appetite. Absolutely. Nice. So when I decided to launch my business, I talked it over with my family and I said, hey, you know, you guys, I'm thinking of selling these cookies. I had been selling them to friends and clients for a few months, and I was up to making 20 dozen a week out of my home.
Oh, wow.
Right. So I have a family I need to feed. So I was trying to prepare meals for my family and have 20 dozen cookies being baked. So I said, I think it's time for me to take a dive and see if I can turn this into a business. So my middle son, who is the most like me, he's 21 years old and he's a finance major. He and I decided to go around that summer and check out farmers markets because I figured out that would be the most cost-effective way to launch a business. I had two kids in college at the same time that year, and anyone who's had two kids in college at the same time knows how expensive it is. So I had to really make sure that I was careful with my startup funds.
Right.
And I figured that the farmers market is going to be the best option for me. And it was a way for me to reach consumers one-on-one and connect with them. And right. That's a big deal for me, being able to connect with my consumers and my product, because I feel like it's a part of me. Mm-hmm. And I want them to know that it's not just some commercial cookie with some person baking them. These are made with love and care, and mm-hmm. I want them to have that same satisfaction and same experience that I have when I eat them. Yes. And I felt I could do that at a farmer's market because I'd be able to talk to customers like yourself, like your family.
Yes, that's how Maya and I actually met. I bought her cookies. Well, and what I love about that, not to be too sterile and business-minded, but you also garner, which one of the most important things in any type of a product distribution is feedback, customer feedback, you know, and so that you can alter and change. And I think farmers markets, it's never even occurred to me, but that direct customer feedback, you know, is what everyone from the smallest company to the most massive corporation is looking for mm-hmm. to fine tune any product or service. So it really is that like one-on-one. And the same people return week after week. And so, you know, there's a great time span in between of 6 days where you can make and adjust. It's really wonderful. So you started researching different farmers markets and deciding you were going to distribute there. And then did your location change when you launched Maya's Cookies officially and did the business license and all of that? Was that for the farmers market?
Yes, it was. So I went around to the farmers markets, and one farmers market in particular, they had a management booth. So I stopped there. They said, hey, we have a class. I was asking them a bunch of questions. How do I get in here? What do I do? What permits do I need? Okay. They said, hey, we have a class that we offer once a week called Vendor 101, and it will answer all of your questions and put you on the path to success.
Perfect.
So I said, okay, sign me up. Yeah. So I took the class the very next week. They were offering one. So I'm a go-getter. So I said, okay, I'm going to go next week. Went to the class. And I brought my product with me to the class because I knew the people doing the class were
smart.
People that run the farmer's market. So I sat around, there were about 20 of us in the room, and I remember looking around thinking, I wonder who's going to make it. I know I'm going to make it, but I wonder who else is going to make it. Who's going to make it in the room?
Sizing everyone. Yeah.
And so, yes, that class taught us how to launch a business in the farmer's market industry, but also that crosses over into other industries, a wholesale, a retail. So I started there and I brought my product with me. And I remember during the class, they said the most saturated items at the market are baked goods. So if you sell baked goods, you're probably not going to get into a farmer's market. And I thought, well, I sell baked goods, but they didn't say anything about vegan baked goods. Yeah. And that's what I sell. So I'm going to go for it anyhow. So on break, it was an 8-hour course. On the break, I gave the managers a couple boxes of my cookies, and it was holiday season, so I happened to bring the gingerbread cookies, which are always a hit, and I gave them to them. And after the course, they got my contact information and contacted me 2 days later and said, you want to start at our farmer's market next Saturday?
Excellent.
And I'm glad I brought my product because...
Yeah. It's incredible advice, and it's not even something that I would have immediately thought of, you know, people might have been shy to do that. And it's such an imperative thing when
right.
you're doing, you know, especially direct sales like that. Do you The farmer's market that you first started out, when was that? What year and which one?
What year? So that was 2015, November 2015 at Little Italy, the biggest market in the entire county. And when they asked me to do it, I asked my husband, I said, oh my gosh, this is, I don't even have table. I don't have anything. Should I do this? And he goes, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. We're an athlete family. So my husband's an athlete. And all he had to do was say that. And I said, all right, you're right. Let's go for it. So we spent 3 days running around town, getting banners made, getting tables, getting a tent, getting blah, 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 blah. My poor husband, he works from home. So I kind of took advantage of that and had
good, help me out. Good. Yes, absolutely.
So yeah, I started at the biggest market during a holiday weekend. It was Thanksgiving week. So it was, I was swamped. But that was the
best
experience.
How did you know what your orders? Did you just guess? You just had to estimate how many?
I had to estimate. Yep.
Because you still, to date, when I go down to the farmer's market down here, so Little Italy in San Diego, to clarify, in Southern California. But when I go to even just the tiny market that I go to that you guys have, you're always out at the end. It's ever, you sell out almost all the time. Did it happen the first time as well?
It didn't happen the first time as well. I brought too many. And that was fine because I could, you know, freeze those and eat them. The family had cookies for a few weeks. But I'm a numbers cruncher and I'm data driven. So I asked them, how many visitors do you typically have at this market? And they said 18,000, but it's a holiday weekend, so it'll be more. And I said, okay, well, maybe 10% of those people will stop at my booth and buy a cookie. So I kind of use that kind of math. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but that's... that's the math I did, and it sort of worked, and I still use a formula similar to that to this date, because I don't like to have waste, so I keep really meticulous records on how many cookies we bring to each market and what flavors we bring.
Does the farmer's market estimate how many people show up weekly?
Yes.
And the ebb and flow throughout the year?
They do. They do, and I also keep my own records, so I know, because I've been doing it since 2015 now, so I can go back in my books and look at trends throughout the year and see how we sell.
And you record everyone who comes to your booth?
I don't record everyone, but I just record inventory sales.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's important to note that in Southern California, we have the, you know, I know in a lot of places, farmers markets either take place inside during the colder months or things like that, but we have the generosity of our weather. And so our farmers markets run 9 months out of the year, sometimes 12 months, depending on the different districts.
Right.
So summertime is usually the only exception. But it's a great opportunity for people who, you know, want to be involved in direct sales like that or start off a small business. The concept of a farmers market, I think, is wildly overlooked by a lot of people just willing to get, you know, and it's a great way to network and get a lot of things out there. So that's interesting. So you started off, I like the idea of cookies during the holiday season. I think that's kind of a benefit, a slight perk when you launched, and I think of cookies always, but usually a lot during the fall and the holidays.
Right.
So when you started, did you have, you went to this class, you immediately offered a position, a spot in the farmer's market. From there, did you develop a business plan or some kind of a roadmap as to what you wanted to do? Who was working with you? Was it just you? What were all the specifics?
Well, I did have a business plan in my head, and I didn't know how to put that down in paper. So I called one of my former clients who runs a large corporation. She owns it, runs it, president, CEO, and I admire her. And I called her up, and I said, I need your help. I'm starting this business. Everyone tells me I need a business plan. I know where I want to go in my head, and those ideas might change, but how do I do it? So she helped me put it down on paper. And from there, I've made adjustments and whatnot. But yes, I started by myself because I couldn't afford any employees.
Okay.
And I didn't know what to expect. And I wanted to be hands-on in every aspect of the business so that I could know how to operate this business as we grow. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to subcontract or farm anything out. So, and I'm very particular with my product and our whole brand. I don't want to water it down. Mm-hmm. I hold it to high standards, how we run our business and how our brand is perceived by our customers.
Yeah.
We're the highest quality, number one. So I did all the sales. I did all the baking, all the production, all of the everything. And as the business grew, my husband said, you know, we don't see you anymore. I think it's time to start. You can't do everything. You're going to run yourself ragged. So that happened within 6 months. the business
fast.
Fast.
That's awesome.
I didn't realize that I hit a nerve in the vegan community. They wanted cookies that were gourmet and decadent and gooey, just like I did. Mm-hmm. And not only that, I didn't realize that I was going to hit a niche market of people with allergies that aren't necessarily vegan.
Right.
But I can't tell you how many times people have come to our booth or contacted me and said, oh my gosh, I've never had a cookie. I didn't even have cake on my wedding day because I can't have eggs. And
right.
I can't believe these are delicious. We've never blah, blah, blah. So I hit a niche market there as well. So 6 months down the road, I hired market help. So at first I had my sons working for me, but that could only last so long because they were in school and it's hard to take orders from mom.
Yeah.
It's just a different vibe. They're great and they still help me out, but I needed staff to help me grow down the line long term. So I hired market staff. After I hired market staff, my next staff member was a production assistant. And it's been 2 years and I finally can leave her. I've been training her because I'm very particular of how our cookies come out and how they taste and just the quality, everything. So she's been working under me for 2 years now and she's my production manager.
And this is in the kitchen?
So in the kitchen.
So I'm clear about
yes,
this.
In the kitchen.
Production.
Okay. We make 500 pounds of dough each week. And we have to bake those 500 pounds of dough each week and distribute. So the production help was huge. So I have a production manager and now she has an assistant. So we have a production manager and a production assistant. And I've added more staff for the markets as we've grown and I've gotten into other farmers markets as well. That's the only other staff member that I hired. I did a temporary internship with a student from USD to do my social media because I'm 49 years old. My target market were millennials.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that was my target market in the beginning. But,
right. Another
so,
thing that you
right.
find to the business.
Exactly.
All of these surprises. I
right.
love it. I love
and
it.
I,
yeah.
you know, I follow social media and I have Instagram, but I didn't know all the ins and outs and the quirks and the language that needed to be spoken on social media to get my product out there and advertised. Mm-hmm. And she
so
does.
You and you hired now tell me about that process. You reached out to a university. Who did you reach out to and how did you find them? Was course credit allowed? All of those things.
So course credit's not allowed in the way that I found them. I basically needed extra help for a festival. And I contacted University of San Diego. Our family, we're a Catholic family, we're devout, and my kids go to Catholic schools, and University of San Diego is the Catholic college, so we have a lot of ties and friends, and just our community is there. So naturally, they were my first choice. So I contacted them, the Vegan Student Union, and I said, I need help. Can you put this on your page or send it out an email and have people contact me? So from there, I was able to find two employees. One of my employees happened to be an English major, and she was the most articulate, beautifully spoken, outgoing,
yeah.
go-getter. She doesn't take any crap, but she's soft and gentle, and she speaks three languages.
Yeah.
And she just, I said, McKenna, do you think you can help me with my social media? Because I don't understand all the ins and outs. And she said, sure, here, what's your account? And she just took it over from there.
So did she do it or did she teach you as well on how to involve it? Like, do you still outsource the social media? Because actually I'm finding with most startups, particularly with founders and things like that, even with, you know, millennials or younger founders, they will outsource a lot of their social media because of the babysitting that it takes,
right.
you know, and the amount
yes.
of time. And
yeah.
to stay on like a rigid schedule, you almost need to outsource it and have it be someone's daily task if you're not prepared to be
right.
consistent. You know.
Yes. So back to having two kids in college and a limited budget,
right.
I thought of that and I didn't want to spend that money
okay.
on outsourcing because
yeah.
you're right. There's a lot to it. So I myself decided to go to a free class that Yahoo offers on social media.
Nice.
It was like it wasn't Yahoo, it was Facebook. And it was like a one-day type of course where you go and you learn the ins and out of how.
Was it virtual? Was it online or was it?
It was a webinar.
Okay.
And
yeah.
it was actually both. So they had an actual meeting and I provided cookies for the meeting. So in exchange for that, I got to attend as well. So I went to that. perfect.
Right.
I love it.
So the constant product.
Right.
Yeah, I love it.
They contacted me and they wanted product for their, they said, we're having this virtual, this meeting, it's a webinar, and we're also having a physical meeting, blah, blah, blah. So I wanted to learn myself just so I have a little bit of knowledge in how it goes. But, you know, there's so many day-to-day tasks that I have to complete as a founder and CEO.
Right.
That's one task that I felt like I could have someone else handle. As long as I knew the gist of it, mm-hmm. I have access so I can see what goes out. And surprisingly, she thinks like I do.
Nice.
And she thinks of things, she solves the problem before they happen. Mm-hmm. She sees a problem and figures it out and solves it. And her verbiage is on point.
Yeah.
And her style. So I trust her.
Yeah. And good fits with that are crucial. But when it works, it really works. You know,
yes.
I truly believe that, you know, a lot of the communication that can take place via a conduit, you know, a social
right.
media person doing it can be just as beneficial, if not more so. You know, as a founder myself, I don't have time for a lot of longer explanations that a lot of, you know, of my staff members have to be able
right.
to offer users on different things. Or I'll conversely, I'll be too wordy. You know, I'm going
right,
on too
right.
much when two sentences could have sufficed.
Right.
That's
I
great.
Agree.
So you grew. So the first 6 months in, you needed staff. Mm-hmm. And then with the, were you doing everything out of your house for the first 6 months, or did you immediately go into a commercial kitchen? And I don't know anything about commercial kitchens, but I've been told that there's timeshares that happen a lot of times, even in restaurants and places,
yeah.
for the kitchen space.
Right. I'll break it down.
Okay.
So I had big plans for myself. I wanted to turn this into a big deal. So I didn't want to have a limited permit that I can only sell X amount of product, because if you get a cottage permit, which is the permit that allows you to bake out of your home, there's a maximum amount of sales you can make. And I said, I don't want a cap on what I can. I'm going to blow these numbers out the water. I have goals
yes.
for myself. I'm going to go big. If something's going to have my name on it, I'm going to go big. I'm not going to limit myself. So I immediately got a commercial permit. It was only a couple hundred dollars more. And that allowed me to grow faster and grow bigger.
So the permit was still taking place out of your home, but it was a commercial. No.
No.
Okay, so it was for a commercial space.
Yeah, so it was a commercial space. So
okay.
the cottage food permit allows you to run a business out of your home, but you're limited on how much you can mm-hmm. sell, a gross sales.
Right.
And I knew I was going to blow that number out of the water, because there's a number. So I immediately went for the commercial permit, which means that you have to find, before they'll give you the permit, you have to find a kitchen that you're going to work out of, because
okay.
they're going to come and inspect it and make sure it's on the up and up. So my son and I went around trying to find a commercial kitchen that summer as well. So I'll back up from, this was the summer before I started. So I started in November.
Mm-hmm.
The summer prior to that, we did all the research, including those permits,
mm-hmm.
and I knew I was going to want a commercial permit, so we went around and viewed kitchens, and
This is daunting to me. Like, this is where you're getting into machinery that starts
right.
looking scary. It goes from, like,
right.
a blender in the kitchen versus a,
right.
a industrial kitchen is
exactly.
very different.
So it's, you just have to educate yourself on
mm-hmm.
all that, and we went around and toured all the shared commercial kitchens. There are several kitchens that you share time with other vendors such as yourself. A lot of caterers use them. And I didn't like that vibe, because you're limited on when you can be in there.
Right.
There's 100 other people in there working at the same time. And,
right.
you know, I was worried about storage of the product and my product getting compromised. It's vegan. And what if, you know, I'm using baking sheets that someone just, you know, baked a bunch of roasts on or something and they didn't clean
right.
them. Just little things like that bothered me. And
yeah.
I happened to finally stumble upon one kitchen that was the small, obscure kitchen that no one was using, because it was inside of a natural foods distributor. They just happened to have a kitchen within their 30,000 square foot facility that they use for testing new products in. But it was licensed and permitted to be rented out.
Hmm.
So I didn't know that when I contacted them. I just contacted them and said, hey, you're in Poway, I'm in Poway.
Oh, so you were just cold calling.
I was cold calling.
Just
mm-hmm.
to find a kitchen. That's awesome.
So I went there, and I was amazed that the owner was there, and she showed me around, and it was meticulously clean. And it's a macrobiotic food company, a distributor. So it's all vegan.
Yeah.
And she is she's been in the business 30 years. She owns this company. It's a huge national distribution company of natural foods. And she took me under her wing, and she taught me little ins and outs of being in the food industry. And I use that facility to this day.
Another free education.
Exactly. Love it. Yes. So I found a mentor, the world, the universe was just helping me out. So she's still my
vibe,
mentor.
Everything's still there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the vibe of it. I mean, the vibe of that, the macrobiotic is mirrored directly by your product and your history, personal history. It's like a marriage meant to be. So you guys worked out all of the terms.
Yep.
Was the lease length, like, were you able to negotiate all of those things per your business plan? Like, were you able to get all of your terms met?
Yes. So I started out month to month, week to week. And as I grew, I was there more and I was there more. So now I have an office in there. So as my business grew, I needed more refrigeration space. So I now have refrigeration space in their walk-in refrigerator. And that's crucial because we're making 500, 600 pounds of dough each week. They need to be refrigerated.
Right.
And I have my office in there. I also have my home office where I do all of my admin work out of, but all of my production, everything that has to do with production, we do out of our production facility in the office there. She really helped me with my price point and figuring out my cost of goods and just all the little details that I knew of, but I didn't know 100%. I needed someone to guide me because no one's guiding you when you start a food business. You're on your own. It's like, hey, it's up to you to figure things out. So that was really helpful. She taught me some valuable lessons. The biggest thing that I think she helped me with is just keeping my costs so that my sales, I don't have to charge a bazillion dollars for my product, but still offer the highest quality products. She really helped me manage those costs.
Nice.
And I piggybacked on with her company with wholesale ingredients. Mm-hmm. So that helped bring the cost down a little bit.
Oh, that's great.
So
yeah, I didn't think about that.
Mm-hmm. And she's been a huge help with packaging and navigating all the ins and outs of that, as well as ingredients. So I'm very lucky that I have her there to guide me.
For the production end. So when did you introduce the website? Was it immediately when you launched at Farmers Markets, or was it later? And what started that with your online sales?
Sure. So I launched my website, and it didn't have anything as far as sales goes. It was just an informational website. I launched that about 3 months after I started the business, so in 2016, the winter of 2016. And it was more just, Maya's Cookies, here's our contact information, here's where you can find our product. And I knew that I wanted to offer online sales because I wanted to get this product out to the world. And in order to grow, I knew that was going to be the way to do it. So a year after that, we started our online sales website. And it's been amazing. We've been selling a lot of product to states that I never would have thought of. Texas, Georgia, the Eastern Seaboard. And we've been getting our products out there. I haven't advertised because I wanted to get a handle on it first. So this winter, we're going to advertise a little heavier for online sales.
Now, with the vegan aspect, do you appreciate coming in second with that? Or when we approached your booth, I remember saying, we're vegan. Do you have any vegan cookies? And you said they're all vegan. And it was kind of this afterthought. You were more selling the cookies first, like people were walking up and then discovering they were vegan. So when you go to market that online, do you think that it's beneficial? I mean, I feel like the tides have shifted. It, originally, vegan, maybe 10 years ago, was either unknown or daunting or scary, or for a lot of people felt like it would sacrifice taste. But I think that now, like you said, with the food allergies and limitations and things of that nature, it's almost become something beneficial. But how do, personally for you as the business founder, what do you think is the relationship between being vegan and having a cookie? Would you rather say vegan first or cookie first and vegan later?
I would rather say vegan for online because I did the searches and there aren't many vegan cookies out there online. In fact,
it's a niche market.
It's a niche market. So I want vegans who live in a vegan food desert to know that they can have access to these delicious vegan gourmet cookies. So absolutely, I'm advertising them as vegan. Yeah. For the farmer's market, we did that in the beginning, and surprisingly, we got a mixed response. So I stopped saying they were vegan, and you'll notice my display is very particular. I'm very particular with how I display my product because I want people to visually to eat with their eyes first.
Yeah, it's so, very, very laid out. It's very bakery. It feels very like, here are the goods.
Yes. And that's a little side note on that. I took a part-time job about 6 years ago at Pottery Barn, Williams-Sonoma, because A, I was remodeling my house and I wanted that employee discount.
Yeah.
And B, I was trying to bring in a little extra income with all these kids in college. Mm-hmm. So I said, hey, I'll kill two birds with one stone. So anyhow, one of the valuable things looking back that I learned is merchandising there. And just the aesthetic and the cleanliness and everything was very, very particular, very full shelves. Yeah. And I carried that over to my booth at the farmer's market. So I see some booths that are a little sloppy, but I always make sure that, A, our booth is very clean, it's very full, and very meticulously displayed all the product. So that is a big deal. So I try to sell the product first with people with their eyes. Mm-hmm. And then we mention, and they're vegan. And people are amazed. So, but for online, I'm absolutely, absolutely same vegan gourmet cookies.
Yeah, because you have that niche market. I would as well. I really would. I think that you win more with, you know, at least with online, with saying vegan than you lose. And you know, there's people just need to taste them. I mean, once that happens, it's over. There's no more marketing necessary.
Thank you.
You know? It's all downhill. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So with the, backing up, when you started up, you know, you keep mentioning that you had kids in college, which is all self-done endeavor. Did you have any investment? Did you have anything other than what you and your spouse put forward into the company? Like, did you take money from investors or anything like that?
No, but I get contacted constantly mm-hmm. from people that want to invest. For me, I don't want to at this time. You know, things may change, but it's all self-funded. I'm bootstrapping, and I'm very proud of that. I want something to leave for my boys. I come from a foster background, so I don't have family. So this is my legacy that I'm leaving to them. Yes. Is just, here's our family business. Look what your mom did. Carry it on. Keep going. So for me, I just wanted to do it all myself. And since I'm so meticulous with my records, I'm able to do that. And I am going to get to a point where I may need to take on investors mm-hmm. or microloan, whatnot.
Or so, I mean, it kind of depends on what you want to do with your scaling. And that kind of drops me into my next question. Do you have a 1 to 3, you know, horizon view as to where you want to go next?
Yes.
The next 3 years out, have you seen it? Do you know what you want to do? And within that, is the growth slow or is it exponential? Is it hockey sticking up? How do you see the next 3 years?
That's a really good question. So I have two answers for that. One is my 1 to 3 year plan. I see enormous growth and lots of opportunity. My second answer for that is I'm kind of pulling the reins back a little bit because mm-hmm. I want to make sure before I take a risk, because in order to take a risk, I'm going to have to put a little bit more money into it. I want to make sure that my middle son graduates, so he'll be graduating college this year, and then I'll just have one kid in college. And once that happens, then I'm going to be a little bit more open-minded to growing faster. Mm-hmm. So right now I'm pulling the reins back, and my business is growing even with me trying to pull the reins back. Mm-hmm. But I can't stop this train, nor do I want to, and my 1 to 3 year plan is up to here, and I have my goals, and I'm hoping that we blow those goals out of the water.
Right.
So I'm being a little conservative right now simply because, you know, I mean, just to touch back a little bit, I mentioned that I come from foster care, so I don't have any safety net. It's just me, myself, and I. I don't have family where I can call and say, hey, you know, mm-hmm. aunt so-and-so, you know, I'm in hot water. Can I borrow $10,000? So that's one of the reasons why I'm so conservative. Yes, my husband has family, but, you know, that's his family, and
sure.
This is me and my business. So that's the main reason why I'm so conservative, because I don't have, there's nothing I can fall back on.
Yeah.
So.
It's good. I mean, I think that to be, you know, judicious as you, because you've had this success, you know, you immediately experience success. And especially with product development, I think that the suicide of every product that has gone downhill is growth too fast. You immediately compromise quality, even when you're trying not to. There is some corner, there's something, whether it be time, ingredient, something that in the process that gets changed, and you can taste it as a consumer. You can feel it. You can do whatever it is you're producing. And it's true. And I think that it would be tempting, particularly with someone like me. I'm just such a workhorse, and I drive so hard with my businesses that the idea of, like, no, I'm gonna rein it in and not grow too fast would be a real lesson in patience and control.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. And so I think it's good. I mean, I think in that sense, your background is lending to something that's keeping your quality control probably really on par.
I think so. And I've also seen a lot of businesses waste a lot of money in the beginning on things they shouldn't be, or mm-hmm. at least in my opinion, they shouldn't be or don't need to be. I see it all the time working at the farmers markets. You'll see someone, a brand new business, roll up with, you know, brand new wrapped vans or something.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah. And I feel like investor money encourages you to do that as well. There's something about getting money from investors with young companies where I see, like, you know, 10,000 t-shirts made. And I think,
right,
you don't need them. Why are you making that marketing propaganda, you know? But it's because it's tempting and it's exciting and it's a whole industry unto itself.
Mm-hmm.
But that's true. And I was actually thinking of, you know, the different things that you would have needed more and more so over the years, particularly transporting, like, as many cookies and things like that. Like, you must need a van, you know, the employees are driving, setting up, you have a tent, like those types of things, the farmer's market. But to start off with just a few tables and things in the beginning, I think it's the right way. I mean, I think it's scaling and doing that in the appropriate way, even if it is a little bit more contained. So we talked about social media, and we talked about you know, learning about it yourself and then getting someone to kind of work your social media account. Do you know what the most like beneficial platform that Maya's Cookies uses on social media is? It, I feel like you would be really good with Pinterest and Instagram, like a lot of those, because it's a visual experience.
Right, right. Yes. So I consulted with someone, an acquaintance or friend, who does marketing, and she talked to me about dabbling in social media paid advertising. That's the future. So I did some experimental paid advertisements with Facebook and with Instagram just to kind of test the waters, and I loved it. So I use Instagram and Facebook quite a bit. From there, I was able, from my paid posts, I was able to get all the data and the analytics on that, so I could see who was clicking, what their demographic, where they live, their age. So all of that information was valuable.
Yeah.
And the Instagram, same thing. It's a godsend in this day and age for companies, because it's free marketing for your product.
I know.
And the paid advertising just takes it to the next level, and it's affordable. So that is where we're going next, is we're going to start doing a few more ads on both of those platforms. I haven't dabbled in Pinterest yet, but I think I need to look into that.
I love it because of the shared boards. And Pinterest will notify you when someone has used something off of your board. So it's kind of a web of networking that's interesting and useful. And you have such a fun play on the visual with a lot of your cookies. You know, you do the stuffed cookies, which my kids just lose it over. We used to call them pregnant cookies. Because Maya does a cookie within a cookie. Everyone needs to hit her website and really explore the fun areas you've gotten into. But I think that that would play really well on Pinterest as well. And yeah, I mean, you're the third, you know, interview I've done out of the past 12 that has said that they've had an incredible response right off the bat for paid ads on Facebook and Instagram. Yeah,
I loved it. Again, I love data, and the fact that we get all that data, I was just like, oh, this is better than Christmas, getting this data.
Yeah, 1,000%. So moving forward, if someone wanted to start off, you did everything self-taught, bootstrapped, everything else. But if someone wanted to get into this field, if there was a young woman or man out there that wanted to, you know, begin building some kind of making something, a good craft, anything like that, and they thought, this sounds great, what advice would you give them beginning to start out?
Well, I would tell them, number one, that you need to be ready to work hard. There's no shortcuts. You have to put your big girl pants on and get her done.
Yeah.
And go with your instincts. But also, maybe it's because I'm so conservative, but look at the big picture and figure out what you want to really spend your money on. Does it make sense? So just be very aware of your finances, number one.
Okay.
And work hard. I mean, those are two general answers, but that's the bottom line, is it's not easy. It's a lot of hard work, a lot of detailing, and educate yourself on every aspect of the business. I'm not an expert. I come from the fitness industry, but I made it a point to learn every aspect of my business production. I'm not a baker. I had to teach myself and then learn how to take my small recipe and magnify it times 400.
Yeah.
And still get the same quality ingredients. So just educate yourself on every aspect of the business. If you're a baker, don't just rely on the fact that you make good cookies. Learn how to handle your finances. Learn how to do production. Learn about the advertising. Learn about social
mm-hmm.
media. Know a little bit about everything. And I feel like that's the key to success, is educating yourself and working hard.
I concur. I absolutely agree. I can't stand it when I speak with founders of any level of any financial responsibility that say, I don't know, I don't deal with that part of it, because I just think it's suicide.
I agree.
And even if it's being done perfectly, to not know it and have it be, you know, your
right.
endeavor is tragic.
Right. I 100% agree. I'm lucky that my middle son is a finance major, and he is a great, you've probably met him at the booth, because
mm-hmm.
he does. He's my operations manager.
Yeah.
He just has, some people have that business sense, that entrepreneurial spirit, and he naturally just has it. And he knows how to run the business to the highest level, and I trust him. So I'm lucky, but I feel like you need a partner. You need someone that can that'll be honest with you and not just tell you what you want to hear. And that also goes back to starting at the farmers markets. The customers will tell you if something's off and something doesn't taste right, or they'll tell you when something's great. So you need to be able to have honest feedback.
Absolutely.
So.
What has been your biggest challenge, or something that you would have done differently over the past, since the beginning of starting Maya's Cookies, however small or major, something that you would have wished you had done differently or not done at all?
Gosh. I made so many mistakes. It's hard to narrow down.
I love that.
A mistake to me is a learning opportunity,
mm-hmm.
because if you don't learn from that mistake, then you're not going to grow. Gosh, it's hard for me to answer that question, because I'm pretty satisfied with the way everything has gone, and I'm happy with the mistakes I made because they helped me to grow. But I feel like I would have probably hired staff sooner and had more help in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
or at least
yeah.
not in the beginning, but not tried to do everything myself, because there was a period where I was crazy mommy, because I was trying to run
sure.
a business
yeah.
and trying to run a family, run a household and prepare meals and help with homework and yada, yada, yada. So I think that was one thing that I would have changed, just if I had someone even 2 days a week part-time. Just to help me out a little bit. I would have tried to manage everything myself
right.
in the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, quality of life, you know, if you're working 180 hours a week and you have a dog, is affecting two creatures on this earth. But if you have, you know, several children, a spouse, and
right.
suddenly your impact on being crazy is
right.
a lot larger. That's
yeah.
absolutely true. So what would you can list off several, or the pinnacle if you have one, but what has been your greatest success, the thing that you felt like you did the best and you're so glad and you wouldn't change it for the world?
We won San Diego's Best Vegan Baked Goods in 2017, and I could not believe that. I was so proud of myself, because here I came from a fitness background,
mm-hmm.
self-taught, and I made it, you know, priority to make the best tasting vegan cookies. And I felt validated, because I, you know, I see all these bakers at the farmers markets and all these professional companies and yada
yeah,
yada,
there's
with their
no shortage.
Fancy everything and fancy packaging, and they're in every coffee shop. And here it is, just little old me trying to do my thing. So
mm-hmm.
I feel like I was really proud. I felt validated. But one major thing for me is raising three sons. I love the fact that they get to see, and I'm proud that they get to see, a strong woman running a business and treating others with kindness and compassion and having a business that's focused on compassion as well, being vegan. Mm-hmm. I love that I get to model that for my sons, and yeah. I hope that they one day find partners that also have those same qualities.
Absolutely. I mean, it's remarkable. That's absolutely true. I mean, having that example, you know, right there in their mother, and it's going to set them up, you know, exactly to go out and find and be, to be a part of that. I'm always focused on women helping women. You know, it's always my emphasis, but I always forget about rearing our young boys to, you know, to be part of the solution as well.
Right.
And to have that, you know, have that respect and knowledge about the power of female entrepreneurs and things of that nature, and being able to communicate with that whole circumstance is wonderful. I love that answer. So what advice would you, aside from, you know, work hard and do things like that, what advice would you give someone who thinks that they're ready to start off but may not be? Is there any final word you have about, you know, starting any type of a business, like what you've done, like your final sound bite on it?
I would say put your big girl pants on and go for it.
I love it.
Right?
Yes.
Put your big girl pants on and go for it. That's my final piece of advice.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. We're going to wrap it up. Thank you so much for taking the time to interview with me today.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. We will be back in a couple of days with another interview. Again, this is Patricia Kathleen interviewing Maya Madsen. You can find her cookies on mayascookies.com. That's mayascookies.com. And I encourage all of you to jump on and buy a few dozen because they are absolutely fantastic. And I will be back next time with another female entrepreneur and founder. Thanks so much, guys. Have a great day.